beautiful. All right. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. All right, who knows? Who remembers what we're doing, what we've been talking about the past 5 weeks? It's one word. Oh, yes, Harrison.
Righteousness.
Yes, righteousness. Good job, Taylor. You guys probably knew the answer too, huh? Very good job to all of you. So we're going to talk about righteousness again today, and we're going to focus on, we're going to read these four verses, 17 through 20, 17, 18, 19, 20, good. And then we're going to focus on the verse at the end. But the whole passage is good for us to read. All right, so let me read verses 17 through 20. This is Jesus talking, okay? Jesus is talking to his disciples on a mountaintop. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me pray. Jesus, sometimes you speak words that are honest and true and even sometimes difficult for us to hear, especially as we think about our righteousness and you telling us that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, those who knew your law and followed the law to the T, it's hard to think about exceeding that righteousness. So would you speak to us, remind us of your goodness and your grace that we rest in, and would that actually spur us on to pursue righteousness and your goodness and your standards? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I got a question for you all before, raise your hand, all right? Who's one of the best people that you know? Yes, Sebastian?
You!
Okay. All right, we got that over with, so who else? Thanks, Sebastian. Yeah, Miles?
My mom or dad.
Your mom or dad? Thank you, Sebastian. Thanks, Miles. Who else? Yes, Caleb?
Parents.
Yes. Richie?
Jesus.
Okay, cool. Harrison?
My grandma.
Your grandma. All right.
Can I say Chuck?
Anyone? Yeah, what'd you say, Chuck. Jackson?
Chuck.
Okay. Chuck, yeah, Sean?
Steve,
okay.
Nice.
All right. Anyone else? Best people you know? Yes, Caleb?
Me.
You?
No.
All right, wow.
Jeez.
Richie, yes?
Jack Black.
Jack Black, you know Jack Black? Okay. Yes, Miles?
My cousin.
Your cousins? Yes, Eli.
Who
Clunter?
Who's that?
Who's that? I don't know. Anyone else? Yes, Danny. Your brother?
Aww.
Did you say your brother?
Chris.
Shout out Chris. Anyone else? Anyone else? Best people you know?
Oh.
Yes?
My dog.
Your dog. Your dog, I don't think, is a person.
It's me.
I hate to tell you that. My dog is awesome too. My dog is the best dog I know. Huh? We can talk about this later. Sebastian, that's not true though. All right, so keep those in mind, all right? We all know people who, when I say best, I mean, like, who's, like, the goodest person, you know? Who's, like, the most, like, the righteous? Who are you, like, oh, that person, they're, like, that's a good person. You know, that's, yeah, and I'm sure you guys all think those things about those answers. Yes, Miles?
Jesus?
Another Jesus? Yeah. Thank you for sharing all those answers. Keep them in your mind, okay? If you didn't share, keep that answer in your mind still. Cass and I just got to go spend a bunch of time in Arizona, and we got to see a bunch of our friends. I have, like, two of my best friends live out there. Oh, I saw Logan Sanders, our intern. I should have put the picture. I have a selfie. I should have put a selfie with him. Afterwards, I'll show it to you after, the picture of me and Logan. Logan was our intern last summer, if you don't know who Logan was.
I think Luke replaced him, actually.
But I have a bunch of friends in Arizona, okay? I have, one of my best friends, Jacob, one of my best friends, Eli. Cass has some really good friends there, and they're married, and their wives are there. And then my friend just got married. That's why we went to Arizona. So I have so many good friends, and I got to spend a lot of time with all my friends in Arizona, and it was really fun to spend a lot of time with them. But also, I started to like notice like a lot of cool things about them. Like a lot of my friends are doing like their like master's degrees. They're like, some of them are doing counseling or like business, and another one, I don't know what she's doing, but she's doing something cool. And I was like, man, I wanna be like, I started kind of comparing myself with them. I was like, I wanna get my master's degree. I wanna be like them. I wanna be cool like that. And then like we got to spend some time at their houses and at their apartments. And one of my friends lives in like downtown Phoenix on like a third floor, and they have like a rooftop pool and like a mini golf place like in their apartment complex. And their apartment was cool. They have a balcony that like looks, that sees like the skyline. And I was like, that's a really cool place to live. Like I want this cool place to live. I was like, they have a kind of a cooler place to live than me. And I started like kind of comparing myself with all of them. And one of them has like a really cute dog. Cass and I really love our dog Zona, but when we got her, we thought she was going to be like a little bit bigger. And now we've come to love her size. But one of Cass's best friends has like a dog that's a little bit bigger than Zona, and he's really cute. His name is Gus. And Cass and I were like, wow, we started comparing our dog with Gus, and we're like, if only Zona was like a little bit bigger, like that would be kind of cool. So we went to Arizona. It was a great time, but also I found myself just like comparing myself and being like, I wish I could be like them a lot of the time. Oh, thank you, Michelle. Thank you. And all those people that you named, like Caleb, you named your dog, you named some other people. All these people you named, I'm sure sometimes you're like, you look up to them. You're like, I want to be like them. I wish I could be like them, right? Because they're good people, because they're the best people that you know, right? In our passage, okay, we have Jesus here, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's comparing them to the scribes and the Pharisees, okay? In verse 20, what does Jesus say? He says, he's talking to his disciples, and Jesus says this, unless your righteousness is greater than the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Uh-oh. I forgot to show you guys something really important that I should have showed you a long time ago. We're going to get back to that in a second. But the reason I was in Arizona was because I was there for one of my friend's wedding. And I got to be a flower bro in his wedding. And this is what I got to do.
I'm leaving today.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's Max.
Wait, is that Art?
Yeah, Art was there.
Art was there.
Awesome. Yep, that's us doing our flower bro stuff. But I meant to show you that before I got into the whole comparing thing, so now we have to get back there. But a lot of time, even spending time with like Max and Art was there, and I was like, man, I want to be like them too. There's a lot of things about them that I'm like, I just wish I could be like them. And in our passage, we have Jesus talking to his disciples and then comparing them to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says this, right? In verse 20, we'll read it again. Unless your righteousness is greater than the Pharisees, than the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless your righteousness is greater, unless is better than the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't know who the scribes and the Pharisees are, the scribes and the Pharisees were these Jewish religious people who knew the Old Testament like the back of their hand. And they followed the rules and the laws. And they even made up more laws and rules. Like they were super strict on these laws and these rules in a lot of ways. And yes? EJ, good question. We're going to unpack it a little bit. Okay, so keep listening. And then at the end, if you're not satisfied with what you've learned, then we can keep talking more. Okay, but very good question. So it was these religious people. And in a lot of other places, Jesus actually condemns the scribes and the Pharisees because they were actually kind of hypocritical. And they like taught things that they didn't do. And they condemned people for doing things that actually weren't in the law because they would make up rules sometimes. But here, Jesus is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, who were well-known religious, devout religious people who followed the law. And Jesus says, unless your righteousness is greater than theirs, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And this, right, this is a really serious thing, right? This is a really serious thing that Jesus is saying, right? Because the Pharisees knew they knew the law. And they even made up even stricter laws. And they followed them, right? But they were the top guys. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were the top guys when it came to the Old Testament law, to knowing the laws. And Jesus speaks to his disciples, to his followers, and he says, unless you are more righteous than them, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Really serious thing. Right, Caleb? So let's think about this question for a second. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven here, right? He says, unless you are more righteous than the than the most righteous, unless you are better than the best people, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So what does this say about the kingdom of heaven? What is Jesus saying about the kingdom of heaven here? Okay, I think one thing that we can take away from this is that Jesus' kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, is a kingdom with high standards. Okay, it's a kingdom with high standards. I think a lot of the time when we think about the kingdom of heaven, when we think about God's kingdom, the first thing we think about is like a perfect place where everyone is whole, where everything is right, where we get to dwell with God forever. And these are all very true things about God's kingdom. But I think Jesus is actually, he's pointing out, he's taking us in a different direction here, not necessarily away from that, but pointing out something else about the kingdom of heaven. Another characteristic of God's kingdom is that righteousness is necessary to enter and participate in God's kingdom. Righteousness is necessary to enter and participate in God's kingdom. Jesus is actually pointing out that following him and participating in the kingdom of heaven means pursuing the highest standards. The highest standards, even higher than the highest. Right? Knowing Jesus does mean that we are fully loved as we are. That's very true. Knowing Jesus does mean that. And it also means pursuing goodness and being transformed by Jesus into someone new. Someone whose righteousness actually exceeds the most righteous people. So when we think about, so we've talked a little about righteousness the past 5 weeks, okay? And what have we talked about righteousness? One characteristic of righteousness is that righteousness is being made right with God, right? That's part of what righteousness is. It means being made right with God, being on the right page with God. And so as we pursue righteousness, as we go after God, we actually get to participate and be a part of God's kingdom. As we're actually made righteous, as we live in righteousness, we actually get to invite others into righteousness as well. Because if a characteristic of God's kingdom is righteousness, is pursuing righteousness, is pursuing the highest standards, not so that we are loved, but out of this love that God has loved us with, we get to pursue high standards and we get to pursue righteousness. Actually, it's one way that we show others and invite others into the kingdom. Because if God's kingdom is about righteousness, then living righteously and pursuing righteousness is a way for someone else to see and to see our lives and see the righteousness of God in our lives and for them to be invited into relationship and with God. Let me give an example of this, okay? Pursuing righteousness is a way for us to invite others into God's kingdom, okay? Here's an example of this. When I was in high school, there was a group of six or seven guys from three different churches. I was a junior at the time, and there was a group of six or seven guys from three different churches, and we had like our youth directors and youth pastors kind of all lead a Bible study together. Okay, so there were six or seven guys all together. I never really had friends before this, and we all got into this Bible study. But this Bible study was way more than a Bible study. Okay, because we would go and we'd read the Bible together and we'd hang out. But the biggest part and the most impactful part for me of this Bible study that we had together was actually seeing how these other guys were pursuing God and pursuing righteousness. As they pursued God, as they pursued high standards, as they tried to listen to how God was calling them to live and to act and live in this world and live in their schools and live in their families, it was actually so encouraging for me in my walk with God. It actually invited me to go deeper in relationship with God. To pursue high standards, to pursue righteousness. It wasn't just me on my own pursuing these things, but out of their righteousness, out of them pursuing God and pursuing righteousness, it actually invited me and actually like moved me to pursue righteousness and to pursue God. And so I like when you hear that pursuing righteousness and pursuing the high standards is a way for us to invite others into the kingdom of God, I don't think it means just going and I think it doesn't mean only this. It does mean praying with others and reading the Bible with others and talking about God with others. But a lot of also what it means is just living your life in pursuit of God in front of others and letting them see the righteousness that you are pursuing, the righteousness in God that you are pursuing. And that actually invites others into the kingdom of God. EJ, you asked kind of a difficult question, right? What did you say at the beginning? Yeah, well, he says unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, then the kingdom of heaven is not for you, right? And I think there's a couple different ways to kind of talk about your question. One is the Pharisees, in all reality, they liked to believe that they were righteous. They were known as the righteous ones, but in a lot of ways, they weren't actually very righteous. Because the Bible says so much about righteousness. It says so much about righteousness. But really, the Pharisees, they said a lot of things, but they didn't do those things. And they made a lot of laws, but they didn't follow them themselves. And they were more of like a burden to the people than a blessing. So the way that the Pharisees lived, it didn't really invite people into a relationship with God. It really just kind of actually put a wall up between God and people. But actually, that's what's so amazing about Jesus, is Jesus comes down and he's righteousness perfectly, right? Jesus is perfectly righteous. He is righteousness. And the way that Jesus lived was a way of pursuing righteousness, of pursuing high standards, of being perfect. Jesus never sinned. And that actually invites all of us into relationship with God. Jesus, the perfect one who was righteous, actually went and instead of building more walls, he went to the cross to pay for sin and to die for us, right? Instead of trying to hold on to his life like the Pharisees and make more laws, Jesus actually came to fulfill the law, is what he says in this passage too. And so Jesus does that by dying, by living a perfect life, and then dying and laying down his life. And that invites all of us, that invites you, EJ, and all of us into a relationship with God and into the kingdom of God, where we can pursue righteousness, not because it gets us into the kingdom, but because Jesus has already got us into the kingdom, and we get to pursue righteousness because that's actually what God says is best for us, is to listen to God and pursue what God says, which is really amazing. So as you're going into, we're going to do some small groups here in a second, but as you're going into school tomorrow, or as you have baseball, or tests, or as you're getting ready for college, or as you're leaving tonight with your friend and you guys are just goofing around or whatever, think about this. How can you pursue righteousness? And how does that invite others around you into relationship with God? How does that invite them into the kingdom of heaven? All right. Let me pray, and then we'll go to small groups. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for Jesus and that he is our perfect righteousness. That the task that you give to us is seemingly impossible, to be perfectly righteous, to be more righteous than the best people that we know. But God, would that not be a discouragement to us, but would that actually just turn us toward you and trusting you and pursuing you and pursuing your goodness and your standards and your guidance. More than anything, would you help us to trust you as we go into school or our lives or our families or with our friends? Would we trust you in all these things? And would the way that we live actually invite those around us into a relationship with you, to know you, and to take part in your kingdom? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.